Let's pray. Father, we give you
thanks. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
And we thank you for the word that we're about to receive. And we thank you for our brother Bob, who has spent time, who has sought out your word. And we pray, Father, that this word would be anointed, that it would come alive, that it would touch the depths of our heart, that we would draw living water from it today, that would refresh us, Lord, that would strengthen us, and it would encourage us to go on. Now, Father, we pray your anointing, your blessing upon him. Lord, give him strength to bring forth your word as it should be taught, Father, under the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And everyone said, amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor Don. How many people were here last week? All right. If you remember, I started out last week by asking the question, how many here want to be a better Christian? Right? Hope I don't have to ask how many here are Christian. I hope you all are, right? Or we'll work on that later. But who wants to be a better Christian? I think we all do. Betty had that hand read up, right? You're a great Christian, but you can be better. I don't care how good you are, you can be better. Now, sometimes we have the false impression that to be a better Christian just takes time. That's all. All we have to do is continue being a Christian, and I'm going to be better. How many people have seen old people that are bad drivers? Probably myself included. You look at some guy, he's about 84 years old, he's probably been driving 65 years. No offense, Sarge. And he can't drive worth nothing, right? But he's drove every day of his life. Why isn't he a better driver? Just because we do something every day does not make us better at it, does it? But God knows that, and he had a plan on how to make us a better Christian. It's called what? Sanctification, right? I want to be sanctified, holified, purified, fortified, and setified. I don't know what that means, but it sounded good. Set aside. Well, actually, that is what sanctified means. It starts off by being set apart, just like holiness. But it's the process that gets us better and better each day, because he knows we can't do it on our own. The first thing, the verse that I led off with last week, was 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. That tells us the three most important things. Where does sanctification come from? God. Right? Through the Holy Spirit. Right? God uses the Holy Spirit to minister to us. That's his part. Right? We have no control over that other than opening our ears and listening. But the second part, through belief in the truth. What did we say the truth was? God's word. It's the only thing that's true. Nothing else is true. You can't find it in God's word, it's probably not true. You need to be careful because somebody always wants to tell you what the truth is. Let me tell you how it is. Yeah, okay. What we have to remember is that we have a part to doing this. It's just not like a prayer or some magic fairy dust that gets sprinkled on us and makes us a better Christian, right? We have to do something. I think Rico spoke about promises of God this morning as well. And last Sunday, if you remember, I said every promise has a condition. Every promise has a condition. Even salvation, you have to turn your life over to God, right? Of course, that's a lousy deal, the life I gave him. I cheated him, right? Most of us were in that position where we didn't have a lot to give up. But we did have to do something, right? And our Christianity and our Christian walk and the process of sanctification requires us to do something. And I had 6 points that we were going to look at that it's our obligation to walk these six out. I guarantee you, if you walk these out, you will be a better Christian day by day. It wasn't necessarily a certain order to it, but I do believe that the most important one, this, I spoke of two last week, is getting closer to God. Like I said, if there's any such thing as a magic prayer that covers everything, that would be it. Because anything that's going on in your life, any problem, anything, the first advice I would give you is get closer to God. Take it to God. Don't hide from Him. And the second thing was pray harder and fast more, right? Pray harder and fast more. Not just, you don't fast just to lose weight. You fast for what? To get closer to God. All right. So we're going to continue with those today, and I'm going to try and get this out here. Number three. Where's Pastor Don? I know he'll love this one. Study the Word. Study His Word. Study God's Word. Right? Very important. How do you know what to do unless somebody tells you? God knows that we're slow sometimes. He wrote it down for us through the Holy Spirit, right? We have an instruction booklet. But, man, we don't need those, do we? Sharon, what do I, my lovely wife, what do I do with the instruction book? I don't need that. Then about 2 hours later, I'm going through the garbage. Where is that thing? Yeah, I have about eight leftover parts. I don't know, and it doesn't work, so something's wrong here. But what we need to remember is first, Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light to my path. You ever been in the dark? We kind of moved out of Melvindale here out more little countries. It is dark out there. Ain't no such thing as a street light. Maybe a firefly now and then, but there is no street lights. You go out, it's dark. You've got the sky up there, you can see the stars, but if you look down, you don't see anything. But if you got a flashlight, you don't have any problem, do you? You have a nice light. I go walking around with a dog. I'll take a light sometimes. See perfectly. But if I'm out in the middle of the woods and that light goes out, I'm in deep trouble. Because what's going to happen? You can't see what's in front of you, what's coming against you. You're going to fall. You're going to stumble. You're going to hurt yourself. I guarantee if you're going through life without God's word, that's exactly what you're doing. You're walking through the woods blind. You're going to fall. You're going to get hurt. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. There's two promises there. And both those promises are blessings. What's it say? Blessed is the one who reads the word aloud. There again is a condition for the blessing. Read the word. Now, have you ever read 1 and 2 Kings? There was... God had those that were becoming king to take his word, the Old Testament, and to handwrite their own copy. One king stepped down, another king come up. He didn't pass the word on. That king had the obligation of sitting down and handwriting that word. That's how important it was. You're going to remember something a lot more if you sit and handwrite it. We always say nobody gets more out of doing a lesson a bit like this than the person doing it. You know, I did the hard part. Well, I don't know. You guys got a hard part listening to me. But this is, you've got to sit down and go through everything, and you remember it better than just sitting and listening to somebody. I know that. And the second part's the same. Blessed are those who hear it, but and take it to heart. In other words, do it. Most important thing in God's word is doing it. I've often told the story of I've heard a lot of pastors. I have known men that were better students of the word than Pastor Don. They were sitting next to me on a bar stool. What's wrong with that picture? Knowing the word doesn't do anything for you unless you take it and put it to work in your life, right? Those guys could quote the word, as they ordered another double shot. What good did that do them? Knowing the word is not what we're talking about here. You remember I said study his word. And that means every detail. When you take a look at God's word, I like to think of any time, anybody know what, do we have an English professor here? What is a noun? A person, a place, or a thing, correct? Anytime you come, you're reading God's word and you hit a noun, a person, place, or a thing, you study that. There's a reason that person is there. There's a reason wherever they're at. Everything has a reason. If God is, if there's a direction, well, he went east. Well, what does east mean? Well, it was a windy day. What does it mean that the wind is blowing? We had on a red vest. What does the color red mean? The word is so rich, yet we just superficially read it sometimes. I remember when I was in the hospital, I'd walked by a lady that had another couple ladies reading the word to her. They were reading a King James, and this lady's sitting there, she's nodding out. Older, very old lady. And I kind of stepped in and asked, what are you reading? Ruth. Just happened in the Thursday Bible study, we were doing the book of Ruth. What a coincidence. I told her that. And I looked over and I said, how long have they been reading you? Oh, since I've been in here. I've been here 2 weeks now. I said, well, what'd they tell you? About Ruth? What about Ruth? I don't know. They're talking. I just listen. She had no idea. She got absolutely nothing out of them just sitting there. I asked, I said, do you mind if I show her a little something that I've learned out of this? We just sit there and plain English just explained a couple things about Ruth and what the story meant. Don't just jump in and start reading something. Who was Ruth? Why was she there? Why is she even in the Bible? And it kind of caught on. By the time I left the hospital, I had a Bible study with 12 people in there. But there's nothing more important than studying God's word, right? That's that lamp to our feet so we know where we're going. If we don't know where we're going, how are we ever going to know if we get there? Fourth step or fourth thing. Keep the faith. How many times do we hear that? Keep the faith. How many people here want more faith? You don't need more faith. You got more than enough faith. You could not live without faith. If I didn't have faith, my next step would be solid. If I didn't have faith in gravity, I wouldn't let go of something. Anytime we go through a green light with a guy coming towards us from the red light and we think a red light bulb's going to stop him, that's faith, right? We all have plenty of faith, especially Sarge was a truck driver, so does that tell you something? You're putting your faith in him. What is important is not that we have faith. We have plenty of faith. It's what we have faith in that makes a difference. That's why I know Pastor John has said so often about how these different movements get started. It was called the faith movement, hyper-faith movement. That, you know, as long as I had the faith, I could get anything. What did they have faith in? Faith. You know, we got a movement here. It's called Faith in God. And I guarantee it works. Because whatever God wants is going to happen. And I have faith in that. Faith is like sanctification, built over time, right? We're not automatic. When we come to God, we were not very trusting people, most of us, were we? We were all hurt people. We were damaged goods. We had been hurt by people. We didn't trust real well. But over time, and that included God as well. We could say we had faith, but do we? I think Ashley even spoke about that this morning, didn't you? About having faith, right? Even though you have faith, you still worry. We still get anxious, right? That's normal. But over time, we see the facts. Over time, I've seen how God works. Like what Pastor John said happened in the hospital. I wouldn't expect anything else from my God, right? I have faith that anytime you put yourself out there in any way, God's got your back. He's going to see that it is going to work. If you're stepping out for him, he's with you. It's when you're stepping out in front of him. If any time that you have to stop and look back to see what God's doing, you got a problem, right? You are supposed to be following God. Seeing God work not just in your life, which I've seen, I probably wouldn't be here, but seeing God work in other people's lives. I love when people come up here and share testimonies about what happened in their lives, how things have changed, how you wouldn't believe the coincidences that happened and so forth like that. You wouldn't believe how God blessed me. I didn't have a job. I was worried. I lost my job 2 days ago. Now I got five people offering me a job. Is seeing that over the years on an almost daily basis is what you build your faith on. I'm not building my faith on something that I have not seen at this point. Right? There was a point in my life where I had to go by trust and faith that God was going to do it because my pastors told me he was. But now I know he's going to do it because I see him do it day after day, time after time. Not just in my life, but everybody's life sitting here. What we need to have faith in is that God is a keeper of his word. The last thing I said was study God's word. Why bother if he's not going to keep it? God is going to keep his word. I guarantee you, I'm human. I'll let you down somewhere along the line. Hopefully not intentionally, but it's going to happen. The only one that's never going to let you down is God. That's why we're getting closer to him. He is never going to let you down. Ever, never. He's always there. He always has your back. But sometimes God says no. I've seen so many people that God has done so many things, and one time he says no, or he closes a door. Oh, they're just all up in arms. I'm out of here. Forget this Christianity stuff. God didn't do that for me. Well, what about the other dozen things he did for you? And you know, the reason he probably said no was bad for you anyway. Because we ask for stupid things. Come on. What we need to ask for is to have God's heart, have God's mind, have God's will, to even know what to ask for. But you know, even if he says no, you remember the story of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? They were getting ready to get thrown in an oven. And they said, I trust in my God. He can save me. But you know what? Even if he doesn't, he's still God and I'm still going to serve him. That's the attitude that we need to have. Remember, God is God. God can do whatever God wants to do. But yet his word tells us that he loves us and wants to see the best for us. So we have to have the faith that whatever happens is for our own good. You know, so often we've heard stories, I had a flat tire, I'm all mad, kicking my car. And come to find out there was an accident down the road. If you hadn't have been 3 minutes late, you could have been killed. Or sometimes that being 3 minutes late gave you an appointment with somebody that God wanted you to talk to. Or somebody that God sent there to talk to you, right? That always happens. Number five. And Pastor John spoke, I thought it was quite a coincidence, spoke quite a bit about love this morning, didn't you? You were speaking about love. He's a loving guy. Oh, so are you, Pastor John. I'm sorry. So are you. Right, Laura? Yeah, okay. We love you anyway. You got a big heart. Think about love. We hear that all the time. That is one of the favorite things. Love, love. You know, sing like Barney. I love you, you love me. Let me ask you a question. Before I ask you a question, let's read something. Let's read God's word. Right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. Like I said, if you don't get these down or get to them in time, don't worry. There's a full set of notes. Everything I'm talking about is in there. 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love God does not know God, because God is love. Simply stated, is what we hear. Simply stated, God loves everyone. The only thing that God hates is sin. Is that a true statement? What did I just say? Whenever we hear a statement, what do? We check it against God's word, right? Much as I love my pastors, both of them, it says to check. Check on God's word. If you come with a question to either one of these guys, they're just happy as can be, because that means you're listening. You have a question, that you care. That's why number 5 I entitled Love Correctly. We are supposed to love, but love correctly. Just like I showed with or talked about faith, we have to have faith in the correct manner, in the correct thing, right? Simply put, simply stated, we should love what God loves. But by the same token, we should hate what God hates. God hate? Does our God hate anything? Let's take a look. Let's go with the love part. I like to stay with the love, though, whenever possible. Because God, Pastor John said it so many times today, God loves us, right? There is no doubt about that. But there again, it's the action on our part, right? If somebody loves you, every time they come up, if every time Pastor John came up to you and said, I love you, you slapped him, probably after a while he wouldn't be loving you too much, would he? Pastor Don, probably the first time, right? Yeah, let's take a fast look at the things that God loves. He loves people that are humble. He loves a humble heart. Action is taken through humility, and those that have a humble outlook on life, right? I'm nobody special. What's in me is what's special. Amen? A truthful tongue. In other words, being a good witness, right? The only truth I have in me is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, right? That's my answer. A caring heart. Lord said that whatever you do to the least, you're doing for me. He cares about us, right? If we're doing to each other out of love, that's like showing love to God, is what he's saying. That's what it means when it says God is love. He loves a true witness, one that witnesses through thought and action, like I'd said earlier, right? We're all called to be witnesses. We're not all called to be evangelists, ministers, or anything. But we're all called to be a witness. Wherever we go, there is an appointment for us to be his witness. And what's a witness do on a witness stand in a jury trial? He simply gets up and tells what happened. What a great thing, opportunity to get up and show what God did in your life, right? That'd have more of an impact. I could sit here all day and tell you the great things that God has done in Pastor John's life, in Ray's life, both Ray's. Oh, stereo, Ray. Well, what a difference when I can stand up there and say, look, this is what he's done. What a changed life. Look at Marty back there. You talk about night and day. That's a change, right? Beautiful thing you said to him yesterday. It was his birthday. His wife gave him a little message. It was really great how much she loved him and cared. And we love you too. God also loves those that sow peace and unity, especially in his body. There's nothing greater to God than somebody that walks in humility and sows peace and unity. But that also comes to a point that somebody's coming against that humility, put them out. Is that out of hate? No, that's out of love for the body, right? If I have an infected little finger, oh gosh, I couldn't. I'm just going to let it fester and go throughout my entire blood system and kill me. No, it comes to a point that you have to cut it off. Not that you hate your finger. I love my little finger. It's nice. See? If it was a choice between my little finger and life, I would cut it off, right? But now let's take a look at things that God hates. What? Yes. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. That's in Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to list them out. First thing it says he hates is haughty eyes. Okay, what has eyes? Okay, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked schemes. These are things. And I think there's an order and a progression to this. He hates feet that are quick to run into trouble and evil. You ever have a friend like that that's always in trouble? I mean, if there's a fight, this dummy says, let's go take a look. First thing he does, he gets there, somebody hits him, he's in a fight, he goes to jail. Don't put yourself in that position. Don't be the first one to run over there and into trouble, right? There's a fight going over here. Oh, I'm an old man. I'm going over here. Let's take a look at the sixth and seventh thing in this progression. God hates a false witness who pours out lies. That's talking about a person, isn't it? Who else is going to be a false witness? All right, now, you don't have to accept that. Go with number seven. Things that God hates. A person who stirs up conflict in the community. A person. Not a sin. What does it say? A person that does that. That's how important God's church, God's people, and the unity in it is to him. That it comes to a point that he has to hate something and get rid of it to keep the good, getting rid of the little finger. Let's go a little deeper. Malachi 1:3. We were just talking about this morning. I forget who it was. Pastor Don, somebody mentioned something about Jacob. Oh, it was it's Charlie here. Charlie, you had mentioned Jacob. All right, let me read this. Malachi 1:3. He was looking for some books on Jacob. Malachi 1:3. But Esau I have hated. Whoa. Wait. Malachi 1:3. But Esau I have hated. Is Esau a sin? Was he a person? Okay. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Oh, that's a lot of love coming there, isn't it? But now listen. This isn't like all of a sudden this just comes out of nowhere and we never hear about it again. It's actually quoted again in the New Testament to emphasize it. In Romans 9:13. Just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Jacob I loved. You know what Jacob means? Pastor Don, what's the name Jacob mean? Liar and deceiver. Why is that? That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? But if you know the story, there again, don't just read something. Go to the story. If you just read it like this, it sounds terrible, right? We can't pull out sentences. Read that story. What the story tells us was how Jacob sort of cheated, connived, to get his brother's inheritance. His brother, Esau, was the firstborn. He had the birthright. So if you know God's word in entirety, he's using this story to explain that if there's anything he hates, it's someone that would give up their birthright. Everyone is born with a birthright that they can call on the name of Jesus Christ. that God made that sacrifice and sent his son, right, to die for everyone that will call on his name. And those that don't, do you send them out to hell for love? I love you so much, I'm sending you to hell. He's not sending them. You're sending yourself to hell. You have that choice, right? Somebody tell you, you stand here, you're all right. You jump out in the expressway, you're going to get killed. And I jump out in the expressway. Well, it's his fault. And why he says he loves Jacob is because, yeah, Jacob lied, deceived a little bit, but he was all in a quest to get that birthright, right? He's looking for that birthright. We should be the same way before we were saved. We should be out there looking for something. We all were, right? Till we found that birthright. That is a precious thing that God gave us in that gift to his son. He takes that very seriously. To those that accept it, but also to those that don't accept it. Again, that's not God's choice. That's your choice. Amen? But Pastor John was absolutely right when he looked out here and said, God loves all of you guys. He does, without a doubt. Every one of you that have turned your heart over to God, he loves you, each and every one of you. He says that sacrifice was worth it when he looks out here and sees everybody. All right, last thing. Everybody, I'm going to end with this one. Servitude, servants, service. Don't look down, Ken. He's going to ask me to do something. I always ask him to do something. But I put a disclaimer on this too. Not just service, but serving gladly. That's what God wants. If I have to clean the fellowship hall, God, these people are filthy. You know, look at that cupcake there. Oh, God loves a heart like that. What's he say? He loves a cheerful giver too. He looks at the heart, right? What's your attitude when you're doing things? Just because you serve does not mean anything. You've got to do it in the right frame of mind. Not out of, I have to, or the pastor will holler at me, because I am glad to serve in God's house any way I can, right? I first come to the church. Eddie was a little bit ahead of me. He was an usher. He came up to me and asked, do you want to be an usher? Not me. I was mugging people last week. Now, this week you want me to be an usher? Are you crazy? He said, no. He said, you know. And that was my very first job in the church. I think over the years I've done everything. I've cleaned toilets. I've got up here and spoke. One more important than the other? Absolutely not. What's important is your service and the attitude that you bring to it. And I am glad. I know we kid a lot, all my teachers and stuff that come up on the Sunday mornings and everything, that I have to chase them down and everything. That's just a joke. These guys are honored to get up and speak in God's house as I am. And we should be, right, Kenny? Shake your head, even if it's not true. Shake your head, Kenny. But God looks at that heart. If you want to serve, make sure your attitude is right as you do it. Right? If you do these, if you can do just these six, this is not extensive. I could go on probably for another week on different items. But these six, if you do this on a consistent basis, you will grow. You will grow. You will get to be a better Christian. You will have the process of sanctification working in your life. And that's what we all want, right? Amen. All right. Could I have the prayer team come up as I close, please? All right. Thank you for listening to me. But more importantly, remember that God loves you. He wants you to be better Christians, right? He loves you. He wants you to be better Christians. He's laid out a way for that to happen. I guarantee you he's going to do his part. All we have to do is our part. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Father, we know that this is not easy. Not only do you want us to do this, Father God, you are willing to give us the strength if we ask for it. And right now, Father God, we ask for the strength to be able to walk this out, Father God, to get closer to you, Father God, to just grab a hold of that sanctifying spirit, Father God, and to just give us the ability to be a better Christian, Father God, because that's what we want. We want to be a better Christian. Not because it makes us look good, Father God, but we know that that's what you want for us, Father God. You want us to be a better Christian. Father, we thank you for everything that you've done, everything that you are doing, and everything that you will do. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Need prayer for anything? Come on up. Coffee and donuts upstairs. Thank you.
Bring your tithe and bring your shame. Bring your guilt and bring your pain. Don't you know that's not your name? You will always be much more to me. And every day I wrestle with the voices that keep telling me I'm not right. But that's alright, 'cause I'm